God's Word, faithfully preached, is His comprehensive equipment for changing lives, delivering them from the shackles of sin, the flesh, and the world, and transforming them into useful vessels through whom Jesus can pour out His blessings. Living Seed invites you to a feast of the truth as God's servant brings to us the Word of Life.
There are some basic issues that I want you to conceptualize right from the onset. Because when we get back to the point of application to our ministries today, you will then be understanding the basis of some of the things that I perceive God will be asking us to step into as time goes on. You will notice that in Genesis chapter 1, actually God did not make the first man to look for food. Do you notice that now? Actually, his reason to be on the face of the earth was not to look for what to eat. The truth is that what he will eat, what he will drink, what he will wear, in fact, where he will stay, the shelter, where he will stay, God treated that as fringe benefit for his man on duty. This man was provided for everything, including the house where he's going to now live. The Garden of Eden was planted by God. And all that he needed, the water that he needed, and everything was put there. So what was the man created to do? He was to simply carry God's life. Is that all right? But inside a mortal body. And just live and move about and replenish the earth. Subdue it. Not by struggling, but by doing what? By a life that is light, that shines, which darkness cannot comprehend. I noted yesterday that when God told him, be fruitful and multiply, it was to him a means of fulfilling his ministry. Is that all right now? He was to reproduce this kind of man that carries a life that is light. And wherever they are, they will safely and completely occupy the land and subdue it and keep darkness where? At bay. Hallelujah. No, so we noted also that actually that man now had to look for food to eat was simply because something else happened to him. Who was this man that God created to exercise dominion on the face of the earth? Who was this man? He was a man in whose body the life of God. Is that all right? The very kind of life that God himself has was poured into him, the life that is light, which darkness cannot comprehend at all, but living and walking where? In a human body. I don't know whether you understand that now. So now, his ministry is very simple, if I can put it. His ministry was simply to carry about what? That life that is light and allow it to shine. And as it shines, darkness has no alternative than to do what? Than to recede and to run away and to keep at bay and be looking at you and say, that man is coming. That is the victory. I would like to tell you that God's concept of ministry, even today, has not changed. God is still desiring that. You will be seeing that as we go on. But maybe I should quickly share it with you. You've read some passages that say something like, it is God who works where? In us. Both to do what? Both to will and to do of its good pleasure. Can you imagine that? That we actually, we are not working. Eh? Who is working? It is God who is at work in us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So you'll be asking, so what's my own business about the work of God? If it is God who does the work, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So what's my business? Just the container. Eh? So ever since the beginning until now, please note this, God is the only one that has the capacity to stop darkness. Is that all right? And he stops darkness not by any other things, but by what? By that life that is light. He now desires that life that is light, let us do what? Create it. Is that all right? And locate it in a human life. And let him be walking about on the face of the earth and keep the place subdued for us. Do you know that that life that was poured into this man was powerful? Was it powerful? It was. It was glorious because it was a shining light. It was effective because it actually subdued the earth. I tell you, it was powerful because it carried not the energy of the muscle of the man, but the energy of the life within, the power of an endless life. He lived like that. Even when God brought his wife, they were living like that. They really lived like that. And for you to know that God actually wanted them to walk, it is whatever they name anything on the earth that became the name of it. Am I right? God was empowering this man to actually be God's own designate on the earth. He was God's representative anywhere he is. And if God wanted to do anything on the face of the earth, he had to do what? He had to stand together with him. So they had a communion every day. In fact, the Bible reported that at the cool of the day, every day, God came down. They chatted. They discussed. I don't want to imagine how they discussed. But I imagine that when Baba came down from heaven, he said, oh, how is everything going? I said, fine. Everything is fine. Things are moving. Things are working wonderfully. Is there any commotion? I said, no. In fact, whenever I notice anything that looks like commotion, I just need to go there. And I suddenly see commotion. Doing what? Running away. I don't know why, sir, but that's what is happening. Anywhere I step to, I just find that everything just keeps calm. Who knows the power that is making that to happen? The power of the life that is light. Now the Bible said, but someone, don't forget that someone, the prince of darkness, he kept wondering, what can I do to terminate this. What can I do to finish this arrangement on the face of the earth? I thought that when God said, let there be light, it was for a time. And I just waited for him to finish what he was doing. Then I can go on doing my own. But now, he seemed to have placed that same light in this man. What can I do? I'd like to say to you, as far as I can understand, the first battle that man had, please, is not the battle about property. It's not the battle about the ground. The battle that the devil sought out to deal with is how to terminate what? The life that is light. Please, note what I'm saying. The devil is not particularly out, please note this, to kill the man. Actually, he didn't want the man to do what? To die. But he wanted a man that has become emptied of that life that is light. Do you understand that now? I am checking, and I discover that the devil is not interested in cutting the man's hand. The devil is not interested in making him a cripple. That's not his first intention. And I like to say to you that the body, the container here, this body, has never been the problem anywhere. The body is never the problem. What is the body? It's just a container. I really wish I can strike that, because we will be talking about your body and how it should be handled. But I don't want us to miss the real issue here. Everything you see in a man's body, on his appearance, the way he appears and all of that, those are addendum. What the devil is particularly searching for is the man within. And I want you to know, the devil will not say your face should not shine. The devil will like you to emphasize the decoration of the physical when it has already terminated the real thing. And if you ask me, what is the battle against every man God wants to use? It is not the battle about his face. It's the battle about the life inside that he carries. And I want to tell you that the devil is actually looking and is very happy to have men on duty, but that does not carry what? The life that is light. This is the critical point I like to say. I don't know whether I'm communicating it as strongly as I want. Are you following me? If the devil wants to attack your ministry now, are you hearing me? He is not so foolish to come and scatter your public address system. The devil is not as foolish. If you see the devil setting fire on a man's house, he is only doing that because he hasn't got what he wanted to do. What is the devil looking for? He wants to tamper With what? With the life that is troubling him. The life light. As I'm concerned, and I want to say to you with all humility, the devil is not afraid of church growth. In fact, he would like us to have plenty churches everywhere once they don't carry the life that shines, the life light. I'm praying that you will understand. He would like us to emphasize everything else in our theological training apart from the issue of the life that is light. When the woman said, God had said to us, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. The devil caught something. What did he catch? You will not surely die. You will not surely die. Two issues that are critical here. How I wish. Listen, I'm saying things that I wished. It's not prayer. But I'm just wishing. I know it's not possible now. How I wish the day you lost the life light, that same day, you fell down dead. And we know that we don't have anybody on the pulpit again. Do you know it will have been wonderful? You're not hearing me. Eh? Do you know it will have been wonderful? How I wish every man that doesn't have the light that is life, how I wish they are not on the face of the earth trying to do the work of God. Do you know that we would have been better off? Now, God said something to him that I want us to note. What was it that God said to him? He said, in the day that you eat of this particular tree of knowledge of good and evil, you shall what? Surely. There are a few words that are very strong in the word of God. Say, you shall surely, surely die. But there was a matter here, and that's where I'm going. The devil said, you shall not surely die. But God has said, in the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. There are two things that appear the same, but they are not the same. What God talked about, that you will surely die. And then the devil said, you shall not surely die. They are not at the same level. Hey, do you know the truth? As soon as the woman took the thing, as soon as she ate it, and she gave to her husband, and both of them did eat of that tree, what happened to them? What happened to them? The life light. 1 hour after, at that same point, that life was finished. Terminated. But you know the unfortunate thing? They didn't fall down dead. Death has occurred. But the carcass is still moving around. You know, I'm taking a lot of pains to establish that concept is because it's a concept we have to live with, even in serving God properly. When we get there, we will be talking about that. I am discovering something that has happened here now. Let's come again. Please permit me to trouble you again. Now, here is the man. The face is the same. The hand is the same. The leg is the same. No wound. There's no wound. But what made him the man he used to be? What has happened to that now? Is finished. Ordinarily, when that life died, what should have happened? It should have fallen down dead and becomes a corpse. Eh? But something else took over. Another kind of life rushed in. The container was made by God, meant to carry what? His own kind of life light. But that life that can exercise dominion, that life that can subdue darkness, what happened to that life now? Is dead. But then the conflict is that he is still walking up and down. This time, when darkness saw him, what happened? Darkness said, "How are you?" When all the animals saw him, they used to see something before. They used to see a glory. Unfortunately, this time, they barked at him. You are not understanding me. When lions saw him before, the lion saw a glory that subdued all of them. But when a lion saw him now, they saw a different and an empty man. And the only thing they did was to do what? Was to roar. Excuse me. Was it his change? His face that changed? Was it his leg that was cut? What went wrong? The life light is finished. So now, we now have another species of man now on the face of the earth. Eh? With a kind of life which we will be talking about, for want of name, we can call it natural life. Suddenly, he saw his wife and didn't see what he used to see in the wife. Eh? The Bible says the eyes of both of them were what? Opened. So you are this ugly. You are so, get away. And the woman also looked at him and said, "Whom do you think you are? If I had known that you are this naked, I wouldn't have married you." Immediately, something happened, even between the two of them. What happened? The spirit of darkness, they now need to cover. So you better cover yourself. You say, you, what are you to? And so they began to cover up. You see, that life is a new life now. But it's a life that does what? That covers up. It's a life that is seeking covering. When they heard the voice of the Lord, the reality became real. What was the reality? They suddenly discover that we can't come near. Who knows why they can't come near? Eh? There is no way darkness can fellowship with light. The more the voice of the Lord was beaming, the more the thing was pushing. Eh? Adam and Eve, they were looking for where to hide. Something has taken place now. But can I tell you, what took place is not on the face. Was it on their face? What took place is not, it has no problem with the body. The body remains correct. But the man inside is gone. Hey, have I brought you to a point? Do you understand what I've said so far? My chalk has not come. I would have drawn what I'm saying because I wish it's basic enough to understand to that point before we can build up. I want to inform you something before we go on. Can I inform you? The man that God made in his image, none of us met him. Eh? He died before we knew him. The man that God made in his likeness, something already happened to that man. Because when you go away from that chapter 3, you'll be surprised. From that verse 7, from Genesis chapter 3 verse 7, until the cross, listen to me, the man that God made in his image, is absent. Do you know that from that Genesis 3 verse 7, I can tell you the nature of the new man that now emerged. Can we check it? Let's look at Genesis 3 quickly. In verse 9, now I've told you that their eyes were both opened in verse 7. Have you noted that? Eh? And what did they do now? They knew they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together to make themselves what? Coverings. Cover up. I noted that by nature, the life that took over after the life light dies is a life that needs to be what? Covered up. Excuse me, please. Anywhere I know and I see cover up, eh? What does it point at? Eh? It points to that life. The natural life that took over is a life that loves to do what? To cover things. Likes to cover up. They were both naked and they were not what? Ashamed. But when that life takes over now, he has to do what? There has to cover something. There was shame. There was the sense of shame. You can't be who you are. Do you know that whensoever you are trying to present a different front from who you are, it's a direct manifestation of that life. Oh, you are not with me again. Are you with me again? Wherever there is a reason to cover up something, whatsoever seeks to be covered up, it points to a life that is not light. You see, anything can be used for cover up. In the beginning, they used leaves. Is that all right? And you may say, no. Is he talking about wearing physical dress? No, we're not talking of that. There's something that they wanted to cover. And is there something in your life that you are desiring to cover? You may say, no, for me, I just want to say the truth. That the truth is that that is a pointer to what? To that natural life. And it's a life that, because it loves to be covered, it's a life of darkness. It's not a light life. Praise the Lord. Are you with me? Hey. Now, he said, the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, where are you? Let me ask you, what is the correct answer to that question? Where are you? I'm here. Behind the tree. That should have been the normal answer. But I wanted to see the new life speaking now. Can you see the new life speaking now? I hope you understand that when I'm using the new life, do you understand what I'm talking about now? The new old life is a difficult way to express. Thank you. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, where are you? Where are you? So he said, instead of answering direct, that's the nature of this new life that has taken over. I'm just trying to show you. I wish I can go on showing you that over and over. Where are you? I heard your voice in the garden. And I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. Who has noted how many eyes in one Bible verse there? Eh? How many eyes? I heard your voice. Incidentally, when you read the Bible from Genesis chapter 1 up to this time, the word I has never been used. If it was used at all, it was God. Are you understanding? But somebody has taken over here now. I heard your voice. I hid myself. I did this. And I was afraid. What is the nature of that life? Eh? Self. I. A life has taken over. taking over the container that God made for his work. Now, go on a little. And he said, who told you that you are naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat? Let me ask you, what should have been the normal answer? Yes, sir. But look at that life. I just want you to know that right from the beginning, it came with some certain characteristic feature. That except we are able to touch, you might not be able to understand that what God is looking for now in the kind of man he wants to use is a very basic matter I'll talk about. But I wish we can study this a bit. Did you hear him answering? What was the answer? The man said, the woman whom you gave to be with me, she, are you seeing the emphasis now? The woman whom you see, if you are going to blame somebody, you must remember, you gave to be with me. She. My question is that, why was that she needed to be repeated? After all, you say, the woman. Why do you have to bring she again? Gave me of the tree, and I ate. I had no alternative. I had no choice. No only choice. Since the woman whom you gave to be with me, has he answered the question? What did you notice about the nature of that man that has taken over now? He's always shifting the blame. He will never accept responsibility for his own mistake. You know why I'm dealing with this? I want us to be able to look what kind of life. You know, I've told you that the issue is not your own face. Just as it was not the face of Adam. The issue is not your stature. The issue is not the leg. That's not the issue. The issue is the life. What kind of life is this? Did you notice that you are generally argumentative? If anything goes wrong and they say, who did it? Your first approach is what? Is to push it. This thing, we don't learn it all. It's inherited. Are you hearing me? It was not learned. Because I have been looking at, when did Adam learn to speak like this? No. It's a life. It's not what you go to school to learn. And the Lord God said to the woman, what is this you have done? Simple question. What is this you have done? And the answer will have been, I gave it to my husband, sir. That's what I did. But look, the woman said, the serpent. Do you notice that in all their discussion, none of them had apologized? That's the nature of the man that has come. Do you know that at the end of the whole matter, when you come towards the end of chapter 3, and all the consequences and the fact that things have to change now. You will see a few things that changed. One of it is that right there and then, please note, I want you to see that there is a radical change even in their marriage. Do you notice that verse 20, there was a new name to be given to the wife? Eh? You didn't see. Did you see verse 20? What did you see there? And Adam called his wife's name Eve. My own question is, why? But there was a name before. What was he calling her before? Woman. And what's the meaning? Because she was taken out of man. Thank you now. Yes. But now, she has to be on her own. She needs her own identity. She's no more the bone of my bones now. She's on her own. Let everybody bear his own name. And you will see that from that day, the woman lost something in the man. From that day, the woman is only relevant as long as she has produced children. Eh? She shall be called Eve because she was the mother. That's all. And do you know that it's a terrible problem that women only have relevance in many, many men's life only as long as they have children? Am I correct? A woman that has no child in all of Africa is unfortunate, because she has no inheritance, she has no identity, she has nothing. That thing came out of a life that took over. So behind all the marital problems that we find, who is behind it? Who is behind it? It is that life that took over. Now, I wanted to make my drawing very simple. Don't worry, I'm not an artist. I just want to make illustration of my own simple explanation. Now, let's imagine that this is the body that was created. Eh? That's the physical body. At the beginning, God poured in a life that is what? That is light, the light that shines. When what happened happened, I want you to note that what happened was that something like this took place. Eh? And another life came in. But the body remains what? The same. I will tell you that by the time you come to chapter 4, they say, and Adam knew his wife, and they produced children. By the time you come to chapter 5, the Bible was dealing with the genealogy, and the Bible said, in the day when God made them, male and female created he them. In his own likeness made he them. But then the next Bible verse says, let's read it. Chapter 5. This is the book of the genealogy of Adam. In the day that God created man, and I'm touched. Why did they have to say in the day? Because that was very important in chapter 2. Is that all right? He made him in the likeness of God. He created them male and female and blessed them and called them mankind in the day they were created. Then, and Adam lived 130 years and begot a son. In what? In his own likeness. After his image. I'm wondering why this emphasis? That's to show you that the image that he is now producing, is it in the likeness of God? In whose likeness now? In Adam's own likeness. So when you read 1 Corinthians 15, it says, as we bore what? The image of Adam, of that which is earthly. So can I remind you now that right from then, now in my mind I'm asking, the Bible says Adam knew his wife and conceived and bore Cain. And suddenly, Cain and Abel, they wanted to make sacrifice. And the sacrifice of Abel was seemingly acceptable, and his own was not. And the next thing he did was to do what? Was to call his brother aside to a corner. And what did he do? He killed him. Now I'm asking you a question. Who taught Cain to do that? Eh? It is that new life. That's the nature of that life. You don't need to learn it. Do you know why? He has never seen anybody kill anybody before. Where did he learn that? And why did he think that the only way for him to shine is to outshine his brother and kill him? Now we talk of Cain, he killed his brother. But I'm asking a question. Do you know that in those days, when everything looks simple and primitive, maybe that is the only expression he knows on how to quench any other person that compares favorably with him? Eh? Now, let me ask you. What do you think happens when that young pastor under you happened to lead Sunday school and the people say, wow. Eh! So there's a man like this? We thank God. He has the word of the Lord. In fact, if not for him, my service today will have been useless. But for that Sunday school that young man took, praise the Lord. And you heard. You are the senior pastor. What happened? That it is something inside of you did not leap for joy. The only thing that rose, even though you are smiling, because I'm telling you that it's not the question of the face. There was nothing, the devil is never looking for the face. You smile. Praise God. But there was something inside that said, then next week, let him go to the village. And you even called him as if it was part of something. Say, well, I just really thank God for the way you are coming up. There is a work somewhere in the village that I just think that you should go and do. Why did you do that? Who told you to do that? To kill him. To kill his fame. To kill that opportunity. Because he is becoming comparable. Whereas, for Brother Cain, Mr. Cain, there was no other expression that life could use at the time. And I said, but who taught Cain that the answer was to do what? Kill him. And God asked him again, oh, you know the questions as I'm looking at it, I'm just tracing a lifestyle. They ask him, Cain, where is your brother? What is the simple answer? Eh? I killed him, sir. That's the answer. But what did he say? Am I my brother's keeper? If you are looking for him, look for him. Now you are saying, ah. But as far as I'm concerned, I'm not just saying actions. What am I saying? A lifestyle. It's a life that is beginning now to manifest what it really is. And the question I don't want us to go away from here is to be able to trace. Could this be the kind of life that up till now I am do what? Carrying about? Can you imagine? So I noted that life as a nature is envious. Eh? Did you understand that now? You don't learn it. It's part of that life. It's the life. The life just started manifesting. As I'm reading Genesis, as I go through chapter 4, then they said Lamech. There was one Lamech who married two wives. Then I was asking, who taught him? Eh? Who taught him? Who has he ever seen that married two wives? How did he come about? I saw that it is just but what? A manifestation, the nature of the new life that has taken over. Hey, am I saying something that confused you? Are you with me a bit? I want to ask, as I stop at least for now. We will continue tomorrow. But I want us to be able to pray together, just on a short note, before I let you go.
This has been Living Seed. For further inquiry or counsel, contact P.O. Box 971, Boko, Benue State, Nigeria. Telephone numbers 0703-036-3659, 0808-5150-610. Email address lsmedia@livingseed.org or visit our website at www.livingseed.org. See you next week.